Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening. My name is Corey Paws, and this is the third episode of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? So I've gotten some really good constructive feedback over the last two episodes, but one thing stood out very clear, that the audio that was being shot out into the universe, never to be taken back out forever, was not as good as some of the other podcasts. So what I did is I'm trying to take it to the next level. So what I'd like to do first is introduce you to producer Dan, who I've brought in as an official producer. I'm sitting in Dan's studio. Dan, thank you for having me. Please give me a good rate.
I thought I knew exactly what I was going to say until you said, give me a good rate. I just would like to say thank you for being here.
No problem.
Because I don't think I could have listened to those episodes sounding like that again without, you know, coming to your aid in some way.
Well, and so far, so good. Even having headphones on for the first time
makes me feel professional.
I didn't even have headphones on.
Oh, dude.
Whatever. Okay. Bottom line. So for the listeners out there, I think we're up to like 30 or 40 subscribers, which thank you for all of you. And it's only going up from there, Dan.
It only can.
Thank you. Is that this is something that's very important for all of anyone that's listening to this. Dan literally knows almost nothing about sports. Literally nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He knows a lot about microphones and headsets, and he's got this whole, he looks like the Chainsmokers doing a show at a DJ concert. But he knows almost nothing about sports. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Is anything that Dan says, if it sounds like it's one of the silliest things ever, it's because he knows nothing about sports.
Yeah, it's not a character that I've been developing.
No.
In fact, you saying that I know nothing about sports is actually a bit of an understatement.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, so Dan has less hair than
America.
Me. He's
that's true.
A little older than me.
True.
By only a few years.
No, by many years. I heard you say your age a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, oh my God, is that true?
It is. All right, so.
No, but that's good. That's perfect to have me around. I can help you with microphones and headphones, and I make you look tall, thick-haired, young as a
ox.
Newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Strong ox.
And I'm in horrible shape. I have a big gut.
But you're funny. Okay, here we go. So first, UCLA recap. So for those of you that were excited to watch the Bruins try and break a three-game losing streak against the Trojans, you were very excited because the victory bell is back. We won 34-27. The victory bell is what the winning team gets in the competition.
Corey sees a blank look on my face and yeah. Has to roll the whole show back to the beginning.
Well, but the best part also is that Dan has a kid at SC. God knows how much that costs, and he doesn't even know what the frickin' victory bell is. So besides that, unbelievably entertaining game. I was a little shocked at the turnout. But Considering the type of season that both teams have been having, we had probably 65,000 to 70,000, maybe at most. Once the game sort of got into the middle of the first quarter, into the second quarter, people spread out, made it look like there was more people which I appreciated.
Is that a lot of people or is that not a lot of people?
So to put it in perspective, Dan, the Rose Bowl holds just under 100,000 people at this particular moment. They had to take out some seats in the lower section of it.
Sure.
But when we played there, and as a reminder, I used to play quarterback at UCLA. Used to be kind of a big deal.
You used to play football?
At UCLA.
Oh, is that right?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, that I'm joking.
All right, so
I've seen the jersey.
We had 100. We used to have 100,000 plus
people.
Wait,
have you told everyone where your jersey is right now? Have you mentioned that?
You're wearing it.
No, I'm not. Where is your jersey right now? Your number 10.
It's in my garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only place my wife will allow it to be. Okay. So not a lot of people.
No.
Compared to a USC-UCLA game. But it was still had the energy that you would expect from a USC-UCLA game. And what I loved about the way, again, the Trojans fought till the end, we still had some issues from a special team standpoint. I mean, a blocked punt that could have been another debacle, just like the Oregon game. But we were able to come back from that. Spate didn't have gigantic numbers, but who cares? He won the game. And let's be very clear on another point. Joshua Kelly, man, this guy is becoming my favorite UCLA Bruin potentially of all time.
This guy's out of control. I don't know anything about football, but honestly, Joshua Kelly is
289 yards of rushing. And that means that the offensive line blocked extremely well. And that shows us that there's future potential for the way that Chip is running the offense and calling the plays. Butch, by the way, Chip is Chip Kelly, the new head coach at the Bruins. So
I actually, I'm glad you clarified that because I thought that was Joshua's dad. I don't know why, but yeah, I was very confused.
No problem.
Most of the game.
That's okay. So a couple other highlights. I thought JT Daniels, the freshman quarterback at USC, he looks like he's going to be a really, really good college quarterback. I like the way he spins the ball. He's got good leadership. He walks a little funny, in my opinion, but but he definitely throws the ball extremely well, spins it well.
JT Daniels?
Yeah, he's the quarterback at USC.
No, I know. In fact, little trivia that I didn't tell you before. He and my son live in the same dorm at USC.
Awesome.
My son's not that impressed.
Well, hey, I mean, we don't want to know who that is, right?
So if you need him tripped or anything, I mean, I know there's not another game for, I guess, probably a year, but, there's a stairwell. I'm just saying I know some guys.
Okay. What is it, like the House of Cards?
Yeah.
We don't need to go there.
Okay.
All right. Back to the game recap. Super stoked. I was on the field. For those of you that have listened previously, and maybe this is the first time listening, I like to perform the art of humble bragging, which is humbly bragging about things that I'm doing, which was one of them was I was on the field. So I haven't been on the field, and I don't get to go to the field that often because I'm not wealthy enough to donate as much as you need to be on the field. But I was on the field for this game for at least a little while to feel the energy, be reinvigorated.
Right, sure. And I just want to clarify, you're good at humble bragging, which is different from subtle bragging.
I think it is a little different.
Yeah. Is it?
I think it's a little.
No, but really, you were on the field?
Yeah, on the field. And humble bragging, I think, has a little bit even more of a self-deprecation to it than subtle bragging.
Oh, is that right?
That's in my
subtle
opinion.
Bragging is pure.
You're still a little,
you're still
a little bit of an asshole.
Right.
I'm trying to not be an
asshole. But humble bragging, you're kind of backing out of it as you're going forward.
Right.
Gotcha.
Like I was on my way to my private jet and my Ferrari lost, had a flat tire.
Right.
And I had to get out and change it. Anyway.
Right.
So shout out.
So if we're watching the game, where were you?
I was right by the cheerleaders. No, just
kidding. Smart man.
I was up and down the Bruins sideline. Shout out to the Mannix. Shout out to the Howleys. And a big thanks to George Case. So at the end of the day, the atmosphere was still fantastic, even with two teams that were not as good as they probably, obviously as good as they hoped to be. But it was still a very entertaining game. Had us paying attention all the way up until the end. And the fact that the Bruins were able to win, big victory for Chip. You know, we're going to have Chip on in later podcasts, but we'll get a chance to talk about it again. You know, Chip is I love his business demeanor into every game. But, you know, even he, I'm sure, will admit that, you know, if you're only going to win a handful of games in your first year, it's certainly, a great opportunity to, you know, to beat USC.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of, though, in 2000, we played at the Rose Bowl. We weren't very good. Neither was USC, and
to clarify, we is like literally you.
Yeah, we goose. No, we
right. Like meaning, we meaning you.
It's the
UCLA.
Second week in a row I use the Top Gun term. I can't use it for at least another 5 weeks. But no, it was the last game of the year in year 2000.
So you were the QB in 2000.
Yeah, like, it was my second.
For those of us that are trying to pay attention,
I was a 4-year really starting quarterback at UCLA, Dan. When I ended my career, I was the second leading passer in the history of the school, and I passed for more yards per game than Cade McNown did. For those of you that are paying attention at home, but I got hurt every year because I'm fragile.
And then your Ferrari got a flat tire.
Exactly. So 2000, for those of you that remember, Carson Palmer, Freddie Mitchell, Deshaun Foster, I threw that giant, you know, probably 50-yard bomb down the middle. Freddie makes a diving catch in the middle of the field, right about the 20, in between the hash marks. We go down and score, but we scored too fast. And for those of you Bruin fans out there in 2000, you remember that was when we had that, I don't know, I'm just going to use statistics. No one can argue with statistics. Exactly. One of the lowest ranked defenses in the history of UCLA football. That was back when we used to take Robert Thomas off the field on third down, which made a lot of sense. But so we leave a little too much time. Carson goes down, little dink here, dink there, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Next thing you know, a kicker for USC, and I can't remember his name, in the Rose Bowl has a chance to make the game-winning kick. And it's the first kick he made all season. He was like a backup kicker, and he had never made a kick all year. His only kick all year was the game winner in front of 95,000 people in the Rose Bowl. So, for those of you again that have been listening, hopefully you enjoy some of my anecdotal stories. For those of you that's the first time, that's a depressing story.
Yeah,
but back to my ability to be, you take the highs and the lows. You're going to get some highs and lows because there's going to be some high stories here in a few moments. So
that one sounded low.
It did.
Low,
it was
low. In between the legs. Yeah.
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 All right. So let's talk about outlook for next week.
Let's do it.
So we're talking Stanford. They're 6-4. They have had an okay season, but much like the Trojans and the Bruins, the Stanford faithful have been expecting to be a top tier team no matter what sort of players they have, whether they have a top quarterback or not. But most importantly, we're talking about one of the worst streaks ever that have been in existence against the Bruins, which is a 10-game losing streak against the Trojans. We've lost against the Cardinal. Mm-hmm. Is it a tree or a cardinal? I don't know.
I don't care.
We've lost to Stanford 10 years in a row. So what a way to end the season for Chip Kelly with a win against USC and breaking a 10-game losing streak against Stanford.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting that to happen.
Now, do you have Stanford history? Why do I feel like you might have Stanford history?
So, well, first of all, Stanford offered me a scholarship coming out of Chicago. And looking back, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the blue and gold. But Stanford is kind of like the Ivy League of the West Coast, or at least they certainly think they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never forget. Stanford head coach Walt Harris offers me a scholarship and he says, yeah, the only thing we need you to do is write an essay. And I said, an essay? What do you mean an essay? I mean, I was a great student. I was top 9% in a 1,000 person graduating class. For those of you academics out there, that's pretty good.
That's pretty
straight
good,
A
yeah.
student in college,
yeah.
in high school. Did I say college? I was a C student in college. So he said, you need to write an essay, though. And I said, Walt, I don't have to write an essay for anybody else. He said, well, every single player that comes to Stanford has to write an essay. And I said, well, I'm not might not be into that. So next thing, I take a trip to Arizona State. Anyway, so that was where it first started. But the next one was in year 2001 for the Bruin fans out there.
Mm.
I hope I have some good stories later, but remember 2001? You don't. I'm looking at you like you would, but for those of you out there.
I can pretend to.
Thank you. 2001, we're 6-0. We're ranked third in the BCS. We go up to Stanford, and we run the same play on third down for the first three third downs. And I came to Bob Toledo after the second time. I said, Bob, they know what we're doing. He's like, I don't care. Run it. We're going to get into some more Bob Toledo right. stories down the road. But we ended up barely losing that game. I threw my first interception. I was about to break the national record for pass attempts without an interception. And I threw an interception down the middle. It was going to be a perfect pass to Tad Perry. Guy totally pass interferes him. Intercepts the ball. Next thing you know, we lose that game. And we lose the next five.
Oh.
So we start 6-0, go 0-5, and that year we voted to not go to a bowl game, which we'll get to that down the road later, which Bob let that go to a vote, which I thought was a ridiculous choice as well. But the following game was the Washington State game, and I like to bring out stories that coincide. We've been talking, and you know, I know you were supposed to listen to episode one and episode two, but I know you didn't. But I talked about Washington State.
You had to bring that up.
We talk about Washington State in some of the other episodes, and they're going to be – I'm coming around to Washington State because I got a great Bob Toledo in Washington State. Story that I'll trickle out down the road. So stay tuned for that. Where else do we have here? Okay, Stanford. Not only do they have a 10-game winning streak against us in football, but overall, we're talking about 117 national championships in the school's history. The only team that's anywhere near them is us at 116. So for those of you overall Bruin fans, you know that something's always brewing at UCLA. It's not just football because we haven't won a national championship in football since 1954, Dan, by the way. But who's counting?
Not us.
Side note, did see Gary Beben, by the way, not too long ago. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Actually, the only Heisman Trophy winner at UCLA history as well. Had a nice dinner with him and all the other quarterbacks. Nice. That's enough. Did you see how I snuck that humble brag in?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
And on the way home, your Ferrari.
Yeah, no more Ferrari references, for God's sakes. It's a Corvette, Jesus.
That's right.
Okay, 116 national championships for UCLA. USC, the crosstown rivals, 106. Oklahoma State, next in line at fourth place with 52, Penn State with 50.
Holy cow.
Big difference. So now you're talking about three Pac-12 teams with that over 100 national championships. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Obviously, Stanford and UCLA, neither one of us are winning a national championship in football this year, but a little bit of an added bonus to the rivalry, right? And we're pretty close in that.
Sure.
Stanford's a private university. They think they're the Ivy League of the West Coast, but UCLA happens to be one of the top public universities in the country. Was actually at a big event up in San Francisco a couple weeks ago with my man Drew Bennett and Pat Cowan, believe it or not, and found out that we've jumped over a bunch of different schools from a public university standpoint. So I'm pretty happy with what we're doing.
Dude,
we're the number one value. Do you understand? The number one value in the country when it comes to education.
Oh, without question.
So just because it's not all about how much money you spend on education, it's the type of value that you're going to get.
I would imagine that UCLA must get, holy cow, probably more applications
anywhere,
any other school in the state.
And it has such an international brand. We talked about this episode two with Pat Cowan. And we're a sleeping giant. And I'm hoping, I'm just hoping, and I'm praying that something's brewing is going to help build the brand in the right way. So anyway, okay, moving on. Top 25 recap, I'm sure for all of you that were watching the games prior to the Bruin game, some of the East Coast Midwest games. Ohio State barely wins 52-51 in overtime. And then let's talk about the Alabama game really quick. So I'm in the VIP tailgate at the Bros Bowl, and I'm watching halftime of the Alabama Citadel game. And I see that there's actually the third quarter has already started and they're tied. And I thought to myself, we played Alabama twice when Nick Saban wasn't the coach and they sucked, but we still were 2-0. But the Alabama team right now is one of the best college football teams I've ever seen. Can you imagine what that was like in the locker room? So, Dan, you've never been in a locker room in your life.
I was in a locker room in middle school.
Middle school. Like when you mean gym class?
In gym class, okay. Yeah.
All right, never for a team.
No.
Okay. So in a locker room in college football with the best college football coach arguably ever and the number one team in the country that was tied to an unranked team that I don't even know. Is the Citadel like part of the armed forces? Like I don't even know where they're even at. I would pay anything. All the money I've invested in the Something's Brewing so far, I'd give it all away to be in that locker room.
In that locker room, yeah.
Because he must have said something because they ended up winning 55-17. 50-17, for God's sakes. So, again, love to hear
that. Would have been a hell of a speech.
Utah wins in a snowstorm in Colorado. And how about that? I brought up this story earlier. I didn't do that on purpose, but I just saw the correlation. Colorado goes 6-0 and then loses 5 in a row, just fired their coach. I'm not saying that we should have fired Bob back then, but maybe it would have helped. Utah wins. West Virginia, I gave some props to, you know, the West Virginia coach has got the same receding hairline as me, and then I like that quarterback at West Virginia, but they lost, which I thought was surprising. And let's talk about University of Central Florida for a second. Are they legit? Because they beat a Cincinnati team that obviously beat the Bruins, athletic team, but I'm not bought in to University of Central Florida. However, I talked briefly a few minutes ago, and I'll recap that, or I'll come back to this. I am getting on board. I said I would never be a Washington State Cougar fan, but I am officially on board the Washington State Cougars. I mean, they're just fun to watch, spectacular, excitement, and when it comes to, throwing the ball, I think they won like 60-something again. They're obviously going to play in the Pac-12 championship. We're going to do a great recap or a preview show of that as well. Okay, moving on. On your outline, Dan, so I try to make this as easy as possible for you. Yep. We're at number 6 called NFL Outlook.
Thank you.
So not only was I blessed, because I'm very blessed, beautiful wife, great friends, fantastic producer, beautiful daughters. I was blessed to go to the Charger game the following day in a skybox, communicating with the owner's grandson.
Nice.
Never ended up getting me onto the field, but I'll talk to him about that later. Apparently, it's more difficult than you think to be on the field in the NFL during a game. Pre-game, totally different story.
Yeah.
And I mean on the game, on the sidelines. Right?
Yeah.
Not on the sidelines, I'll talk about the Rams in a second. In a skybox with the folks at Ceridian, wanted to say thank you and a shout out to the Ojai Valley Inn. Anybody that's ever been up there, fabulous resort. But let's talk about a great game that the Chargers and the Broncos played, because it was back and forth, super entertaining. And for those of you that have never been to a game at StubHub Center, yes, Dan, that's where they play. It's a soccer stadium.
Is that where they play?
They play in a soccer stadium.
I didn't want to admit that I didn't know where, but no. I, you know what? I think I've actually been there.
Yeah, probably for an X Games competition or a CrossFit competition, not an NFL game.
It was to watch my daughter dance before a soccer match.
Of course. And Dan's daughter is a super talented dancer, one of the best dancers I've ever seen, and we'll be able to, we'll certainly bring her back in maybe down the road, maybe in the VMAs or something. But let's talk about Philip Rivers really quickly.
Yeah.
So for Dan, that's the quarterback of the Chargers.
Okay. Thank you.
He's got like 9 kids. He, literally rented his, he doesn't want to take his kids out of school. So he rented this sort of, Mercedes bus, or a story I heard, rented a Mercedes like bus, and he travels back and forth and watches tape by driving back and forth. Cause his family lives in like North Orange County or North, County San Diego or something. So he's watching all these tapes back and forth studying. But I want to talk more about his demeanor on the field, cause I've been focusing on guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, everybody out there, I do know that Brett Hundley no longer plays for the Packers. I apologize. I made that mistake last week, but I didn't necessarily admit that I sounded like I thought he was still on the Packers. I was just trying to make a side point. So I do understand that now. Thank you to my brother Casey for reminding me that he's now with the Seahawks. But his demeanor on the field, I've always thought this, but I watched it in real life, because what I'm also going to try and bring to this show is the real life aspect, because I'm going to be at a lot of these events and giving you my inside scoop, right? That's awesome. The whole point. But Philip Rivers' chippiness that he has throughout a game is like your, annoying grandmother that would come over from New York.
Seriously.
Right?
He's that happy to be away from nine kids. It's, like, what's happening?
Maybe that's it. But he literally chirps at everyone. The play's not in fast enough. You didn't block well enough. How come you weren't running the route right? I mean, like,
oh my God,
every single play. But the guy's a competitor, and I would imagine I've only met him really briefly, and he would most likely not know me unless you told him that I was the head of Something's Brewing podcast. But one of the most intense guys just in the brief meeting, but watching him live, I hadn't seen him live. Intense.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
And very chippy. Anyway, moving on from that. Quick story about the Chargers. For many of you that probably don't know, I broke my leg in my senior year of college, so I was surprisingly not drafted, but I did sign a free agent deal with the Chargers. I think I got a whopping $2,500, $3,000 maybe signing bonus. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and look at the records. But the point is that I should have been the third string quarterback for the Chargers for many years, but I wasn't. And I want to tell a story about when I walked into Brian Schottenheimer's office when they were letting me go. And he says, he brings me in. Marty Schottenheimer's the head coach. Brian Schottenheimer is the quarterback coach. I go in. Brian says, you know, we're going to let you go. I said, okay. Are you going to keep so-and-so and so-and-so? These are the other two guys that were competing for the quote-unquote third-string job. Because it was like we still had Doug Flutie. Like Breeze was hurt and he was going to move out. They ended up drafting Eli the following year, trading and getting Rivers, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it was the year before. This is 2002-2003 season. So Brian says, yeah, but they're not going to be here much longer than you. I said, well, they're going to be here, but they're going to be here longer than me.
Right.
So therefore, I just have a quick question for you, and you can give it to me straight. I would really appreciate it. Do you think that those two guys are better quarterbacks than me? And I'll never forget, he leans back in his chair and he runs, takes his hat off and runs his hands through his hair. And he's like, you know what? I like your style. I'm like, bullshit.
Right.
Just give it to me, dude. He goes, no, they're not better quarterbacks than you. So now I'm getting pissed.
Right.
Because I thought this was the NFL. There wasn't going to be any bullshit. If you're better, you're better. I get to stay. So I'm all right. So then what's the problem? He's like, well, you know, have you ever... And he said again, I like your style. God, I like your style. And he goes, you ever been to the horse track? And I'm like, yeah, actually, Kentucky Derby, 5 times in a row. Some great stories about that, which we'll bring up when it's the Kentucky Derby. So I go, yeah, of course, I've been on the horses. You know, I grew up in Chicago. harness racing, love it. So he goes, well, here's the deal. You're basically like a horse that's limping in the paddock before the race, but somebody believes in him, but who in their right mind is going to put money on the horse that's limping before the race? And I got the analogy, Dan, but I said to him, okay, but can you elaborate? And he goes, well, first of all, you're slow. You're short. I'm so glad that you got your rest last night because you sound like you're terrible. You need to take a flu shot. You know, CVS is giving them out practically. You're slow. You're short. You're white. No, he didn't say that, but you're slow, short, white. You don't have a rocket arm. You bench pressed 225 pounds once. When you tried to jump and touch the vertical leap thing, you didn't even hit it. However, and you broke your leg in your senior year and you had off the field problem. And so then he says, but you are a natural leader. You learn the playbook in one day. You can make all the throws. And you see all these tapes behind me, these VHS tapes back in the day? He's like, you're better than all these guys. This guy's in the NFL. You're blah, 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 blah. He says, but no general manager in the NFL is going to give you a chance for those reasons I just said. If you were 2 inches taller, boy, if I just had two more inches. If I was 2 inches taller, or if you were 2/10 of a 40 faster, you would be, there's no question you'd be playing. Or if you didn't break your leg, right?
Well, yeah, that is.
So what you need to do is go to Canada and be the MVP of the Canadian Football League. I says, je ne sais pas français. And I said, okay. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Right.
So I call up my agent, but the last thing he said when I was leaving, he's like, but by the way, who's your agent? And I bring up this story because it's going to transition into my next story, which was, I'm like, who's my agent? What do you mean, who's my agent? My agent is the number one of the number one quarterback agents in the country. He's like, well, I've never heard from him. I'm like, well, maybe that's because he had the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
So I said, never heard of him. He goes, yeah, you know the guy that I'm keeping for longer than you? He was the Division III Heisman Trophy winner, which, by the way, he was not as good as me when I was a junior in high school. But his agent had something on the guy's desk every freaking day. So now I'm getting pissed off. But I call my agent, who didn't do anything, and I say, listen, I know you got the number one pick in the draft, but do you mind making a call to Canada?
Like something?
Because Brian Schottenheimer said, all I got to do is go to Canada and be the MVP, and I'll be right back here next year.
Right.
So can you get me into Canada? Of course. It's funny. He picks up the phone. That's easy to do. Calls Canada. Gets me into Calgary. I land in Calgary halfway through the season. I get off the plane, and I'm walking through the airport. This is when they were allowed to go into the airport. You didn't have to go through security.
Right, right.
And there's a news crew. And they're like, excuse me, sir, are you Corey Paz? And I go, like, listen, I've only been here for 15 minutes.
Oh,
I haven't done anything wrong. And they're like, no, we want to interview you. And I swear to God, I thought it was candid camera. I couldn't believe that they wanted to interview me. I'm going to be the third string quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders. Anyway, a side note, I bring that up because I ran into my ex-agent at the Rams game, which I went to see my segue.
Nice.
On Sunday, I was on the field for the Rams Chiefs game, which, holy shit, was that an entertaining game. Potentially a preview of the Super Bowl, which will also will be at broadcasting right afterwards, prior and after.
Ooh.
But what a game, and what unbelievable quarterback play from some young quarterbacks that I had seen Jared Goff play. I had season tickets the first year for the Rams, and then I realized I was just giving them away, so I got rid of him for the following season. But he played like a veteran. And Mahomes, that guy has got an amazing arm, can throw from any motion and any any movement in the play. He's got great footwork. But his greatest strength is also his biggest weakness. And you saw that towards the end of the game. He thought he could throw the ball 80 yards, falling off the back foot, and threw two picks. Now, granted, the first pick he threw at the end of the game, he could have easily read the blocking of the outside tackle, shuffled to the right, and had way more time and would have been able to set his feet and throw it 85 yards.
Mm.
But he didn't feel the rush right, threw a pick. Next thing you know, he gets the ball back because talk about clock management from the Rams coaches, even though Sean McVay, you can't say anything negative about the way he's coached this team over the last 2 years. But clock management, I mean, come on. The Chiefs had three timeouts left with no problem. They got two more opportunities to win the game. And the last one was where he thought he could throw it, 75 yards, and he threw it into the triple coverage. But the whole game, that environment, which, by the way, such a different environment from college to the NFL, not so much from the speed standpoint. When I went from high school to college, that difference in speed was bigger than the speed from college to the pros.
Yeah,
yeah, believe it or not. I mean, a lot of the guys that that we played with at UCLA played professionally in one aspect or another. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like you saw, now granted it was a Monday night game, but NFL games in LA, not as many kids, tougher crowd, just a little more, gritty, a little bit like that old school, Raiders type of environment. But I was on the end zone. I actually took a picture of the Something's Bruins hat with a picture
nice.
Of the background. Yeah, I haven't figured out how to post pictures to the Something's Bruin website yet, but I will do that, almost like my own Instagram, because I don't want to join Instagram yet. But I'm not ready for that, I don't think.
You're not ready for Instagram?
I don't think Instagram is ready for me.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
It's only been around for like 7 years or whatever.
Yeah, we're a bunch of losers. What is this Snapchat thing? Like they have those guys, what are those? Those guys are billionaires too.
They are.
Come on. It's social media, schmocial media.
Yeah,
come on. It's going to go away. We're going to be back to rotary phones here
before
we know it. But so, awesome game. The energy was electric. I can't wait to host a playoff game, even though the Coliseum is getting redone and that stadium's decrepit. But it is going to get redone, and it's looking great. And for those of you that haven't been to the soccer stadium right next to Bank of California, if you're a soccer fan, you got to go to that stadium, because that is at the upper echelon, and I was talking to some of the Legends folks who sold it and are in charge of basically the top venues in the West Coast.
Yeah.
That's their flagship operation until LA Stadium comes out.
Sure.
But when you talk about watching a sporting event slash soccer, I'm sorry, football, unbelievable. Okay, moving on. So tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
You too. Oh, you're talking to the,
I'm talking to everybody.
But I thought you were, okay.
So
am I included?
Yeah, of course.
All right, thank you.
So happy Thanksgiving. I know what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for it sounds better with this audio. I'm so thankful for having this opportunity. The Believe Network, you know, the UCLA giving me a shot.
Right, right.
Stanford telling me I needed to write an essay. and therefore not making it. But let's talk about Bears versus Detroit. The Bears are going to win close. For those of you that are keeping track at home from my gambling standpoint, I did better this week compared to the first week. I expect to do better going forward. Bears versus Detroit, Bears are going to win close. Dallas versus Washington, Dallas wins close. New Orleans crushes Atlanta. Looking forward to sports and entertainment outlook forward. I don't believe I've ever seen two golfers, Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson. That comes on Friday in a pay-per-view event. I know you're a huge golf fan, Dan. You probably have never. Have you ever played a game of golf in your life?
No.
I love it.
Listen, my dad was an avid golfer, but I'm left-handed.
Oh.
So we just, that was the excuse.
Yeah, it was hard to hit an upside down club. I get
exactly.
It. So pay-per-view, can't wait to see it.
People pay to watch
it. That's what I believe.
Are you sure?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Will there be people playing football?
They're playing
bare-knuckle boxing in the background?
They're playing for $9 million to the winner.
Oh.
They got a bunch of side bets. They're going to charity. And I can't wait to see the attitudes out there. I'm sure they're going to be super competitive because they seem like the two most competitive guys on the planet, you know, besides Philip Rivers. But I do have to tell a quick side story. So one of my coworkers slash really good friends is a scratch golfer, and he meets this female professional golfer in Scotland, and they're talking a little bit of shit back and forth, and he's like, I'll play you straight up from the back tees for $50,000. I'll put it up. Yeah. Guess what happened? She crushed him.
Yeah.
From the same tees. Now, granted, he did not play well. But
okay.
But she did crush him.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Uh-huh.
Was she also Scottish?
No.
Okay.
Korean.
Oh, really?
Go figure.
Wow. But in Scotland, she's a professional.
No, she's a professional on the PGA Tour. But when I said Korean, it's like there's a lot of Korean female professional golfers.
Oh, so, is that right?
Yeah, it's not like a... You know, go figure, like go figure.
No,
it's
no, no. When you say
statistical accuracy.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
But anyway, my point is a one-on-one competition.
Yeah.
The first time I saw one-on-one competition was my good friend playing a Korean LPGA tour player, and he got crushed, but he didn't play well. The second time will be Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson.
That's pretty good.
We'll see.
You can retire.
All right. Moving on. So did you happen to see today that news story about the American that was in the Indian Ocean and he was a traveling type of guy. He wanted to get dropped off at a random exclusive, remote. It's not the Four Seasons.
That's how exclusive it is.
It's so remote that you're not allowed to go there as an outsider.
Oh.
This tribe migrated there. It's in
the Indian Ocean.
60,000 years ago, the tribe moved from Africa to this ocean, to this island in the Indian Ocean, just southeast of the tip of India.
Okay.
This moron goes out there and tries to break the law and get dropped off on this remote island that's illegal to go to because they don't want the indigenous to get any diseases. He gets out of the rented fishing boat, canoes over, and they start shooting arrows at him. Gets knocked out of the boat, goes back, comes back the next day and tries again, and they kill him.
Yeah.
And drag his body on the beach.
What did he think was going to happen on
the
second
know.
Day?
And I feel bad. Like, yes, someone passed away as an American tourist, but what were you thinking going back again?
Those are not mixed signals.
No.
When arrows are flying at you.
Yeah. The same indigenous shoot every couple years, they shoot a helicopter to make sure that there's still people there. They shoot arrows at the helicopter. right? It's like Avatar, wow. You know, like, yeah, except yeah. The avatars are 6 foot, you know, it's 7 foot 10.
Right.
All right, moving on. So going forward, just obviously it's the last game of the season coming up because we're not going to a bowl game. But going forward, we're going to talk, you know, NBA basketball. Haven't even gotten to that. Mm. The fact that LeBron James is in Los Angeles. So this is right. Not just going to be football. We're going to talk UCLA hoops. And during the year of UCLA hoops, I'm going to also do some interviews with the UCLA coaching staff, get sort of their take on how they thought the season went, move into the recruiting season, make sure we're all on the same page about what's happening for football recruiting. We're going to talk about, we're going to do a preview show of the Pac-12 championship, cover the major bowl games, and then always, you know, the UFC United, UFC updates where possible, look at the NFL playoff stretch. So I don't want you guys to think that I'm going to take Top Gun thing again. And actually I just did. Shit. We're going to talk about the NFL playoff stretch, but we're not going to take a hiatus. This is happening every single week, whether people listen or not. All right. Because I think I paid up front for a whole year for this thing, didn't I?
That is
this
true.
Produce this, this studio. Okay. In closing, as we're getting close, I know we might even actually be over 30 minutes today.
We're a little over. We'll
but I think left. That we're onto something here.
I think maybe, yeah.
I think we are. It's a hell of a lot easier to talk to you than it is by myself
like
in my freaking office.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Well, I'm very, very happy to hear that.
So in closing, as a reminder for those of you that haven't listened before, go back and listen. At the end of season one, boy, isn't it? Aren't I optimistic?
Time flies.
Boy, I'm a futuristic strength finder 2.0 right. For those of you that haven't bought the book and taken the test. My number one strength is I'm futuristic, but I also command activation through context.
Mm.
Is that deep? Mm-hmm. We'll get into that at mm-hmm. a later date. I'm also a wooer, W-O-O.
You're a wooer?
Yeah, win others over.
Mm.
Okay. All right. So with that goes right into sales and motivation. So season episode one.
Yes.
Talked about the pause laws, the 7 rules to success through positive thinking.
Yes.
End of episode two, I dropped the Apostles' Creed up in his
right.
Which I thought was, well, I think it's creative. But so today we're going to talk about something called the Pawsheba Guide to the Universe. So those of you that know my wife's last name is Sheba. We've combined Paws and Sheba, the Pawsheba Guide to the Universe. So when my wife and I we had already had one kid and Brooklyn was two, and we got pregnant with twins, and we were living in a, you know, fantastic penthouse condo off of Wilshire Boulevard, looking at the mountains from our couch, and we got pregnant with twins. There's two bedrooms. We said, we got to get the hell out of here. Well, we couldn't afford a $2 million shack in Santa Monica, so we had to move to the Lower West Side, you know, down in the Westchester area. So we were looking for houses, and we were like 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 0 for 3, 0 for 4, and we were getting so nervous that we were going to have 3 kids in a 1,500 square foot condo on Wilshire Boulevard. So at nighttime, we would scroll the internet for famous quotes and random Twitter feeds, and we would keep track of a lot of them and make up our own. And we called it the Pawsheba Guide to the Universe to keep our sanity. Multiple times, I would come home in tears, like, "Honey, you know, we didn't get another house.
Yeah.
We might have to make the living room into bunk beds."
Yeah, nursery.
Right. The balcony, I heard just like the, you know,
birds, there you go, perfect.
The birds make nests on balconies.
Right.
What's the problem? So it's going to be a coffee table book down the road. And yes, I understand that many of these phrases you might have heard. I'm not saying that I've made them all up. I haven't. Some of them in the future, though, I guarantee you, I did make up. Which, by the way, Dan, I think I would love to have some sort of a copyright app where if you could put it into an audio and say and put the audio in and say, mm-hmm. "Has anyone ever recorded that before?" Wouldn't that be great?
Because mm-hmm.
then you could guarantee that someone potentially or argue that someone stole it. Because my argument is that there's not an original thought that hasn't been an original thought in a long time.
Yes.
Right. I mean, you're a comedian. I want to be a comedian someday. Every single comedian has taken something from somebody somewhere, I would imagine.
Sure.
I don't know. But now, granted, when you full on literally plagiarize, that's a different story. But if I ever do the book, it's going to give a lot of credit. And I will say something like, if you feel like this has completely ripped you off, here's the name of my attorney. Call them.
Call them.
And we'll
straighten it out.
Like immediately.
Right.
and you own a piece. If there's 100 pages, you own 1/100th of the freaking thing.
Right.
I'm not going to argue. Anyway, so it's also, but I will say this. Are you watching Ozarks?
Oh, I love
You'll find every episode. I love this transition. Mm. So Jason Bateman,
yes,
in my opinion, is one of the first original characters in a long time. The way that Jason Bateman's character is original. He truly is a good person. He's doing his absolute best to save his family from a drug cartel. And he's a finance guy and he's doing his best. He was never a crook. He was forced to become a crook.
Right.
Now, that's not unique. That's happened before.
Yeah, but the way they're doing it, though, I'm with you on
Breaking
this.
Bad.
I'm with you
Breaking
on this.
Bad, the guy was, you know, he was arguably, he felt like he was forced to becoming a crook. But even the Breaking Bad character, why am I blanking on his name? But
Walter White.
Walter White, for God's sakes. Heisenberg.
Exactly.
So,
you're goddamn right.
You're goddamn. So he turned into a psycho killer, which Jason Bateman has not turned into a killer yet.
Right.
He killed one. Well, I don't want to ruin it for anybody. He might have killed once in season two, but he's not a killer.
No, he hasn't changed. Where Walter White is
changed.
An evolution of a character, right? He becomes Heisenberg.
Do you feel me on the fact that Jason Bateman might be the first original?
Yeah.
Or in a long time. Anyway, that's what I wanted to bring up.
See, now I got to watch that whole thing again.
All right, perfect. So, like I said, I think I have some dimensions to me that are not just a big, dumb football player.
Yeah, you have a dimension. You do.
Two.
You do.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So in homage to my number 10 jersey, I might have been number 10 on the field, but I hope over time I'll be number one in your hearts. So I'm going to leave 10 of the Paushiba Guides to the Universe, which think of it as the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. Remember that book and movie?
I do. Yeah.
I like that book and movie. That's actually where stole it. All right.
See,
okay. So number one, ready? Number one, life can have nothing or everything to do with money. Make sure you keep it in the middle. Now that reminds me of something Aristotle once said, life in moderation. Remember that quote?
I didn't know Aristotle personally.
Me either. But you can admit that he's a pretty famous
person.
So I want to challenge everyone to go to lifeinmoderation.com. Lifeinmoderation.com happens to be a website I own, and see where it shoots
nice.
You.
Where does that go?
It shoots you to Pause Laws.
Does it really?
Yeah, because I haven't been able to build it out yet. And guess what's on Pause Laws? It's the cover of the book that you made for me a couple years ago.
Nice.
So I don't want to fool anybody.
That book is
not in print yet.
Oh, darn it.
Anyway, but it looks good. I look professional.
Listen, it's very inspiring to see that.
I know. All right, number two. People who live in glass houses should never throw stones or masturbate in the daytime. Now, I've used that joke many times, but this is a new audience.
Words to live by, though.
Right. I mean, I added a little comedy at the end, but if you live in a glass
Words
house, you should throw
by.
Stones. All right.
Well,
number three, I'm an open-minded judgmental. and I'm sure many people are that are listening. Most of my friends are. Number four, decrease in debt equals increase in confidence. I was the kind of guy that would walk from the dorms at UCLA to class, which I very rarely went to. But I did make the honor roll my first quarter, but then they wouldn't let me major in what I wanted to major in. So I put up a big fit and never went to class again. But when I did walk across campus, I would regularly sign up for at least one or two credit cards a day, just so we're on the same page.
Geez.
So no longer have any high revolving interest high interest credit card debt. And I can tell you that a decrease in debt equals an increase in confidence.
Yeah,
however, I want all my salespeople to be heavy in debt. All right.
Nice.
Number five, dress how you want to be addressed. Does that feel good?
That feels really good.
Yeah.
I like
so,
that.
So clearly you want me to not address you at all.
No.
All right. Number six, men have so much of what women have none of. That's a little deep. I feel like we're going to come back to that one in the future. That could go so many different directions. It's not condescending.
No.
If anything, if you knew what was going on in my head, it's the complete opposite.
Right.
I read the Da Vinci Code. Women are the key to the universe, period.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Number seven, hangover cure, .. Blistering hot shower for 5 minutes. Immediately 1 minute of cold shower, followed by aspirin before an all-American breakfast. Guaranteed.
That's
now,
it.
Now, I will tell you where I got that from. A Robert Heinlein novel, science fiction. I'm huge into science fiction.
Yeah.
I got that from a Robert Heinlein novel, futuristic utopian society, called The Book of Job. For those of you, that's like his only comedy that he wrote. Fantastic book. It's about alternate universes. And for those of you that are into the High Castle, High Castle has a lot of alternate universes going on. But I digress. I just want to give you my depths of my dimensions.
So in this alternate universe, there's still the All-American Breakfast.
He didn't call it an All-American Breakfast. I changed it to that. He just said breakfast. I changed it to All-American, right, meaning scrambled eggs.
Right. Toast.
You know, toast, hash browns. Black coffee and either bacon or sausage.
Mm.
Bacon well done or sausage. Not turkey sausage.
No.
Old-fashioned sausage.
We're talking pig.
All right. Number eight. I was born in China. I've been competitive since birth.
I'm not going to ask about that.
Have you been to China, Dan?
I haven't. No, I've never been to China.
So it's competitive to eat.
Yeah.
There's billions of people.
Yeah. Literally.
And if you look at pictures of the cities, it's staggering. I was in Beijing for the 2008 Olympics.
Yeah.
I actually stayed with Kerry Walsh's family.
Mm.
I was basically a glorified baggage handler.
Yeah.
And got a chance to be there for literally 8 days, full on national TV of the semifinals of the sand volleyball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's raining. There's no one there. I got my sunglasses on and I'm sitting. I knew exactly where the cameras were. And my friends might be listening, they remember I was texting them. I was on the camera for almost an hour straight.
No.
Sunday afternoon, NBC Sports.
Nice.
Yeah. And I started getting text messages back and forth of like, are you seriously in China? Here's the moral of the story. I got home. Guess how much my cell phone bill was?
Oh, my God.
$2,800.
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yep. Yep. Shout out to Aeon for paying that. Okay. all right. Number nine. Moving on. And we're almost done, by the way.
I understand.
Number nine. Moving on. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. That's a shout out to my mother-in-law, by the way.
That's a good one.
Yeah, she likes to use that one.
I like that one.
She doesn't say it exactly like that, but that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
She likes that.
She wants you to be ready.
No question.
Yeah.
Number 10, and finally, don't let yesterday use up too much of today. So with that, don't forget to email me at Corey@somethingsbrewing.com, and there's no E in Corey, for those of you that are wondering. I try and respond to all emails. Feel free to send constructive criticism. Dan, thanks for allowing me to prepay for a whole year's worth of your studio.
Anytime.
I think we're going to keep doing this. We'll find out, though. I've been listening to the feedback because people might think that you're an arrogant prick. I don't know.
Well, no, I am. it may be bothersome to them.
Yeah. Or I think we might be onto something.
We might, I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
I don't mean to be, but I think I might be, yeah.
The most important thing that everyone needs to remember again, you don't know anything about sports.
That's true.
But you're going to learn.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We feel strongly about one another.
There's a lot to learn, though, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we do well back and forth. So I think we'll... Unless I hear otherwise from some of my harshest critics, I expect for you to be back. At the very worst, I'm still using your studio because we prepaid.
Right, I'll unplug my
just
microphone.
Just show me how to work all this DJ equipment.
Right. Oh, the cops are coming. Can you hear that?
Yeah. So again, thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your morning. Have a great rest of your day or a fantastic evening. Hope you come back again soon. This is episode 3 of Something's Brewing. Peace in the Middle East. I'm out of here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.